Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everybody out at church today. Hope everybody's had a good week. Everybody grab a Heavenly Highway Hymns, the blue book, turn to page 44, and let's stand this morning as we sing the old song, Victory in Jesus. Amen. Good singing this morning. Let's turn over to a song that tells a story of what we need, I believe. And I believe the pastor would agree. Turn over to 275. Revive Us Again.
Thank you.
Amen. Brother Hackett.
Appreciate the good songs. Enjoyed it very much this morning. Glad to see the good number out. When I first come through the door, I thought, well, crowd's down. Then I looked up here. Everybody's up here. That's good. We're glad to have. We've got a few more empty seats. If you want to come and help out in the choir, just come fill them up. And we'll have a lot of good singing from up here. And we can all just join in down here too. And it just goes in like that, and it all goes up to the Lord, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's good to see everybody here today. I hope you've had a good week. Hope everybody's been blessed some way or another to be able to do something for the Lord this week. Whether you've invited somebody to the house of the Lord, maybe you went to church somewhere, or revival, maybe you thought about praying for somebody, and you prayed. That's doing something for the Lord there, and that's what we're generally trying to do for the Lord each and every time. So let's keep these things in mind that the Lord needs us to do for Him. And actually, we would say, well, God's all-powerful. He can do all things by Himself, but He expects us to do for Him is what He does. If you check the White House, we'll use this as an example. We have a president up there that is considered to be the most powerful man in this country. He has more power than anybody else. But he's got a staff up there that takes care of him. He's got those that, we'll say, does the cooking and the cleaning for him. But there's those staff members that also help him with the work. See, that is the example that we have today. We have a God that is all-powerful, makes our president look like a little bitty thing as that we are in front of Him. But He wants us to do work for Him. He delegates us the jobs to us that we can bring honor and glory to Him, make the job, His job, work easier is what He expects us to do. Now, if you've ever been a supervisor somewhere and you had, well, let's just use the term that I grew up with, you had a slacker, somebody that basically, and I saw them, they were supposed to be doing a particular job and they was over here, well, I guess I could do that one. Nah, let's don't do that. That's the kind of way we are, aren't we, sometimes. We slack off in the work of the Lord. So let's be about the Lord's business. Anytime that the Lord impresses you to follow Him and do something for Him, I ask you to do that is what I ask you to do. It's good to be here today. I want us to be prayerful one for another. And today is, I don't want to forget again, we have our children's church today. So I think they met over there the other day. So today, children, if you'll come over here, I'll get you to line up on the steps here. Got a good little bunch again today. Thankful for every one of our kids that comes forward. Here comes some more. Come right on. Thank you, Hans. Thank you, every one of you today. You know, I want us to think just a little bit about this week. You know, I've been doing numbers, and I've done 1 through 5. So today we're going to do 6. Is 6 an easy number? It is, isn't it? It's one of the easiest numbers to make in a lot of ways, besides 1. 1's just a straight line, right? So 6 is pretty easy to make, but see, 6 has a great thing about it. You see, how many days did it take God to make everything? 6 days. See, that's why it's important for us to remember that 6th day. God made everything in 6 days. Do you know, can you tell me one thing that God made on the 6th day? Go ahead. Man, right. not only did he make man, but he made all the animals too. You know, he made a lion. He made dogs, cats. He made a lot of different creatures, didn't he? So that sixth day was a very busy day. Now, out of all the animals that God made and all the things that God made, this was something that I found that I hadn't realized until the other day. When God made the light, he spoke it into existence, didn't he? When he made the days, when he made the earth, he just said, all right, earth, right there it is. When he made the sun and the moon, he just spoke it. He just said, sun, you go here. Moon, you go here. That's what he done. When he got down to the animals, he just spoke them. And he made that little dog. He made that cat. He made those creatures that way. Did you know there was one thing that God made that he put his hands on? Us. Now, I think you're going to be studying this in your vacation Bible school. And I want to say, if you're not registered, make sure your parents register you for the vacation Bible school. Because in that, you're going to learn how God made man. He took his hands and he took the dust of the earth, made clay out of it, and then he formed us. He formed us. He made us just like him. It says we're created in his image. See, the sixth day was a very busy day for God. And then the next day was the seventh day. And he rested, is what he did. So think about how that God made you. He formed you to make you who you are, what you are. How many fingers you got? Five of them. How many toes you got? 10 of them, right. Actually, you got 10 fingers too, right? 10 and 10. See, God made us like we are. And that's a special thing. That's a special thing. You didn't accidentally happen. God made you the way you are. Okay, that's all I've got. Y'all got anything? I'll dismiss you then. Thank you for coming down. Brother Sam visited the other night at Caney Fork when we was there. And as he was leaving, some of us were talking, and I said, Brother Sam is really good at doing the children's church, and they thought about that a little bit, and I do think Brother Sam does a really good job, and I miss him when he's not here, especially when he does the children's church, because I usually learn from him, is what I do. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. I asked Noah if he would do our reading today of our prayer request, and I appreciate him doing that very much. So, Noah, if you would.
All right, so the birthdays this week are Colin and Griffin, Colin Griffith and Angel Lynn Gunter. And the anniversaries this week are Sonny and Linda Knaff, Chad and Jenna Metter. And the prayer requests this week are for the first responders and families in the condo collapse in Florida. Elizabeth's sister in the hospital, Brother Suet and Sister Pauline. Pray for revivals in VBS. Remember the lost in prayer. And remember Brother Sam as he's preaching at Cave Springs today. Mm-hmm. Remember Sister Sandy and the Dave family. Remember the ones that have been saved, that someone will help them grow in the faith. And pray for our service today that the lost will get saved.
Yeah. Thank you, Noah. Appreciate it. I messed around today and I gave him short notice, but he came in like a trooper. I thank him for doing that today. And I appreciate all of our kids that do the readings each week, and just thankful that they are blessings to us to be able to do that. And let's keep them in our hearts on our hearts and in our prayers. Those that are saved, we want them to become good church members for our church. They are the ones that will carry this church on if it's to go on and time goes on. Let's pray that they'll go strong in this church. And so let's keep them on our hearts. If they're not saved, let's pray for their salvation is what we need to do. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer here in a few minutes. I do want to give a quick update on some of the revivals that are going on. Cornwall's Chapel, that's over in Defeated in Smith County, they had two to get saved last Sunday night. Big service from what I understood. I talked to one of their members Friday, and they hadn't had any more saved, but thank God they had two to get saved. Caney Fort had one to tell of being saved out in the hayfield, is what he said other night. But they've had several lost there, but they haven't been saved as of yet. I haven't heard from Faith Church, their revival, and Moville, as of Thursday night, I guess it was, they hadn't had any to seek the Lord at all. But we did notice last night when we passed by about 10:30, they were still inside church. So I figured they were having a good service. So I haven't heard from them since that this morning to know if anything good happened. But do remember them. The only revival that I'm real sure is probably starting tonight is Grant Missionary Baptist Church over in Smith County. Do remember them. I'm sure there's other revivals that are going on, and we do need to remember them. I do want us to remember for the youth group tonight, we are meeting at the Smyrna Skate Center for skating. Don't expect to see me skating, though. Heather asked me this morning, did I bring my skates? Nope. I'm just now getting my knees back in pretty good shape, so no. We'll see if we can talk Heather into getting out there with you is what we'll do. You picked on me, so. But that is from 6:30 to 8:30 tonight is where the kids can enjoy that. Remember, that's the Smyrna Skate Center. There'll be skates, pizza, and Cokes are all provided for everyone. I want us to remember the Vacation Bible School will be starting a week from Wednesday night. Let's be prayerful about that. Let's pray that we have some people get saved. That's what we need to be praying for. Pray that the kids will learn from these studies that they have. But the big thing that I'm looking for and praying for is seeing people get saved. Also, let's remember on July 11th, we will be having a singing here once again. And that will be the group Lakeside. They will be here at 5 p.m. That is a Sunday. And so keep that in mind and let's be prayerful about that. And then don't forget the revival will be starting on the 18th, and which will basically be a week later. So let's keep that in mind and be prayerful about the revival. We've got several lost ones that needs to get saved. So let's keep that in mind. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart this morning?
Sir.
Lord, help. Lord, help. Remember her. Let's remember Madeline as she has contracted COVID. And so let's do remember her. COVID's still around. We need to take care of ourselves is what we need to do. And make sure that we still observe the cleanings that we need to do. So let's keep that in mind. Another prayer request. Somebody else. Let's be prayerful one for another. I hope that you will be prayerful for me. I need your prayers today. And some of you My understanding is have it, and so there's a lot of allergies. It's pretty bad right now, so let's keep that in mind and pray one for another. That's what we need to do today. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? Let's remember this. We need to remember Brother Allen over there. He's got his finger wrapped up. We got notice Wednesday night that he had gotten a spider bite, but he's doing good. And he said he's on the mend, so we're glad he's with us today and able to play. We're glad he's able to play. Let's remember all these prayer requests. There's about 3-4 right there that I counted that was lost. Some won't be able to come, but some of them will. And if they've heard the truth before, let's pray it'll stir up inside their hearts. I've heard testimonies of men in the service, and the Lord saved them. Probably one of the deepest ones I ever heard of. Man got saved 100, I believe it was 100 foot underwater in a submarine. Lord can save anywhere. I had a man that I know of. He passed away last year. He got saved in a foxhole. That's where he got saved at. Let's remember these soldiers too that are lost. Somebody else. Let's do all we can to try to bring these lost souls into the house of the Lord where that they can hear the truth. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? We're going to call on one to start our prayer. We want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Tom, will you start our prayer, please?
Let's turn over to page 168. 168. We'll do verses 1 and 3. 1 and 3. Choir, won't you stand? We'll do a choir special this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Allen. Thank you, Brother Brad. Thankful for all the good singing this morning. My granddaughters would have really loved to have been here and play, and help sing that song. They have learned that song recently, and they really, really enjoy singing that song a lot. And I have about decided that Hope is going to be like her mama. She was always real loud, even when she was real little. And Hope is getting louder all the time and learning how to sing. And maybe y'all will get to hear that during revival meeting as they will be coming during that time. And they are special in our eyes. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything before we go any further in the service? If you do not have anything on your heart, turn to the 21st chapter of 2 Samuel. 21st chapter of 2 Samuel. I'm going to try to make this sermon as brief as I possibly can. But truthfully, I have five subjects today, which could be five different sermons. Actually, it could be 10 different sermons. So bear with me for a little bit and pray hard that I can get this in as quick as the Lord will give it to us. And I just ask your prayers that this message will do what it needs to do. 21st chapter of 2 Samuel. I'm going to start reading with verse 15. It says, "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And he's got some good names in here, so bear with me. Ishbinab, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, secured him and smote the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this, that there was again battle with the Philistines at Gob, and Sabachah the Hushanite slew Sop, which was the son of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle at Gob with the Philistines, where Elnaah, the son of Jehoiakim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand six fingers and six toes, 24 in number." Kids, how many fingers and toes did I ask y'all have? This guy had 24. "And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants." That's reading verses 15 through 21 for our reading lesson today. That coming from 2 Samuel and the 17th chapter, I believe, no. 21st chapter, excuse me. Turning now to the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel and reading the 4th verse. And it says, "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span." Y'all figured out what I'm going to do with this message yet? We have a reading lesson here today that has five giants in it. Now, the other night I was at church and Brother Ron was preaching, and I do not remember now what his statement was, but the thought of five giants got into my head. And for a little while there, truthfully, I didn't pay a lot of attention to his message the other night, because the Lord was just opening up this message to me. And it was not one that was going to be what I would consider an easy message. And I've studied on it quite a bit. And like I said, I've got five different subjects for five giants. And what we have today is a period of time that's coming up, and we've been talking about it now for a while, that we have a lot of sinners that needs to get saved. I believe the church has been in a state of getting revived, but I do believe that it's necessary for the church to be in a revival mode before revival gets here. And what I mean by a revival mode, I mean we've got to get in the Spirit, truthfully. We've got to get to a place where that we can serve God to the very best of our ability. We've got to get to a place where that we show these sinners that we have got something that they need. The best instruction that there is the example that we can put out. If we are a people that are praising God, doing for God, and showing His glory, they will see it, and they will desire it, and they will seek after it, is what they'll do. But what do we have standing in our way? You know the story of David and Goliath, how that army, the two armies, met at the Valley of Elah. And as they were meeting there, the Goliath came out, and he said, "If one of your men will come out and defeat me, our people will bow down to you, and we'll just be your servants." Now, the Goliath, you saw, heard what it said, 6 cubits and a span. He was better than 9 foot tall, almost 10 foot tall was how big this man is. We have giants in our lives, don't we? These other men, according to what people say that they are men that are giants themselves. One of them, I think it says it in 1 Chronicles, was a man that he was big enough, he needed a bed that was 12 foot long. So he was probably at least as big as Goliath is. And you think about that. All of these men being brothers together and warriors to fight against the nation of Israel. We have a great battle in front of us today. And as we think about this battle, this is for us to start preparing ourselves for a time of revival. We need revival in our church. We need it today, to be honest with you. But it's going to come at some sacrifices. We're going to need to get some things out of our way. As we start to think about these giants today, one of the biggest problems that the men of Israel had with Goliath was a lack of faith. I'm going to ask you today, how strong is your faith today? How strong and how willing are you to show your faith today? When that Goliath defied the army of Israel, the Bible said about him that the scripture said, that the men of Israel backed away from him. They said, "We can't go up against this man." I understand that thinking, first of all. I've stood up against men in times past that were much bigger and much taller than I was. And I'll truthfully say, When I looked at them at first, I wanted to back away from them. But there are times when we have to make the stand. It's what we have to do. The men of the army of Israel, though, were not willing to make the stand that was needed. So when David heard what that man said, I'm talking about Goliath, what did he do? He said, I'll go, I'll fight, I'll do what God will help me to do. And you know the story, that how that he went down into the brook and he chose out five smooth stones is what he did. Now, the five stones today are going to be a stone for each one of these things that stands in our way of a great revival in the sight of God for this church. A great revival is a time when we as God's people will get in shape to serve Him. We'll enjoy the spiritual blessings that He wants us to have. We will enjoy the things that God blesses us to the greatest degree. Do you remember, and this is usually the first spiritual blessing that every child of God gets, is the time that they get saved. When they get saved, that spiritual blessing, it's just as a spring of water inside of us, bringing up new life, bringing in joy and peace and happiness, bringing it all inside of us, doesn't it? And we enjoyed that feeling, didn't we? As we enjoyed that feeling, we wanted it to be even more than what it was, didn't we? We wanted it just to continue on and on and on. But you know, life gets in the way, is what it does. So in order for us to enjoy the blessings of God, it's going to take the same kind of faith that David had, stepping up to the giant and saying, I will fight you. I'm going to have faith to pray. I'm going to have faith to come to church. I'm going to have faith to pray for the preacher. I'm going to have faith to stand up for the Lord when the time comes. That's what it's going to take during this time. Now, the second giant that we are going to fight is that first one that it named. And did you notice it talked about his armor that he had? Did you also notice that it talked about he had a new sword? You know what that means? He had a lot of pride about himself, didn't he? He had a lot of pride about himself. He had a sword that was brand new. And the Bible said that he had thought to kill David. And apparently from what we read here in these verses, he had him in the grasp. He was in the place, probably no doubt, had that new sword drawn, ready to hit him and kill King David right there. You know, there'll be times when our pride will get in our way. Our pride will get in the way of us serving God. You know, we'll say, well, I can't sing as good as some of the others, but I feel like we need to sing certain song. Maybe we'll have a thought sometimes that we will just have to do things in a different manner. Maybe we'll say within ourselves, I can't allow myself to make a fool of myself. Hey, I've been there. Yeah, I know I make a fool of myself every Sunday, but the thing is, I like to control myself to a certain degree. But the fact of the matter is, people will look at us as God's people to see how willing we are to serve Him. And if we allow our pride to get in the way of us, of sinners being saved, of us praising God, if we allow our pride, well, where is pride in testifying? Have you ever said, well, I might say the wrong thing? You ever had that thought when you felt like testifying? You ever felt like it when you're thinking about praying? My grandfather, he would not pray publicly. I can only remember one or two times that he prayed publicly, and his words was, I'm afraid I'll say the wrong thing. Now, I'm sorry, Papa Wilmore, but that was pride right there. We need to allow God to lead is what we need to do. I want us to look, if you would, at Proverbs, the 6th chapter, if you will. And I'm going to read just a little bit for you here for a few minutes. Proverbs 16th chapter. I'll get it right here in a minute. He says, all the ways of a man is clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. Now, we in ourselves, we can do nothing of ourselves, but we have a tendency to think that we are clean. And because we think that we are greater and mightier than others that are out there, maybe we feel like we shouldn't be the ones to stand. You see, it's exactly the opposite way too. Many times in our minds, we're not good enough to do that. Again, that is part of the pride that we have. But if you drop down to the 5th verse, it says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, is what it says. So we as God's people today, we need to put our pride aside. We need to put it aside to where that we can serve the Lord. Let me give you one more verse on pride. It says, pride goeth before destruction. When you think about pride, most of the time, we don't consider it as being that harmful, but it is a destructive force inside of us that can cause us to fail God. It'll go before destruction. Ours? Sometimes. Could it be somebody else's destruction even? Sometimes it can. Listen to verse 19. It is better to be of a humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud, is what it says. It is better for us to be humble in the sight of God. I realize in this day and age, most of us wants to have the character about ourselves, to think of ourselves in a good way. We need to think of ourselves that God is greater than us and He knows better than us to help us in those times. Humbling ourselves is the answer to our pride. Humbling ourselves. In the book of James, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. Let me ask you something. Is it better for you? The old saying was, toot your own horn. You know, brag on yourself. Look what I did. Or is it better when that brother or sister brags on you? It lifts us up, doesn't it? Just imagine if God lifts you up. You see, that second giant is something that will stand in our way of a true revival within ourselves, within this church, to bring the glory of God down. You see, that's the next part of these of the giants. There is an honor system with this, and God expects us to give Him the glory and the honor that He is due in this time. Turn to the book of Malachi, if you would. In the book of Malachi, in the first chapter, if I can get my Bible to turn the right place here, in the first chapter, in the sixth verse, it says, and a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? See, God was saying through Malachi, he wants his people to glorify him, honor him. Are you saying with me, you said, well, I thought we were honoring him. Are you honoring him to your best ability? Is what I'm going to ask you. I want you to get another verse here. In the 12th verse, it says, but ye have profaned it in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted. You see, sometimes we say within ourselves, what we get out of church, well, it's just church. Been guilty of that? Well, it was just church. We just had preaching. We just sang. But it wasn't that much. I had a preacher back about 5-6 years ago now. He kind of put me in my place. He said, did you have a good service today? And I said, well, no, we just had preaching and singing. I said, didn't have what we'd say a good service. You know, most time when we consider a good service, it's one of those services where we say, well, people testified. The preacher didn't preach. Boy, the singing was wonderful. It was really good to be in the house of the Lord that day. You know what he said? He said, anytime the Spirit of God is in a service, it's a good service. You know, we're guilty of that many times. We're looking for the extraordinary. We're looking for the great things. And I'm guilty of that myself. I'm looking to see people working. I'm looking for the singing to be a blessing. I'm looking for the preaching to be a blessing, to be helpful to me. But when the Spirit of God is there, it doesn't have to be the great things, but it is the small things that bear witness within our soul. He said, you profaned my table. You that are saved here today, you're eating of God's word today, aren't you? He said, ye said, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye brought that which was torn and lame and the sick, thus it brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about offering as far as what you put out there. I thank the Lord for everything you do. But think about what you're bringing to the service of the Lord. Are you bringing your best unto the Lord? Have you humbled yourself to the point where that you can follow what God would have you to do? Have you brought the things that are not torn, not a lame? You know, in those days, they were supposed to bring a lamb, a sheep, a bullock, one without spot. They couldn't bring one of those that was had a broken leg. You ever come into church about half limping spiritually? Have you ever come in and you felt like you was broken? And I don't mean spiritually. I mean you was just broken down. Your mind was here or there. I used to say it when I was a kid, Mount Tabor, when I got bored with the preaching. They had the covenant up here behind it. And they several times I read that church covenant. That was good for me. But where was my heart, my mind? It was not in the service of the Lord. And thus, because of that, what I brought to the table was something broken, something lame. Because that at that moment in time, I was not willing to give God the glory as I should. I want to give you a verse as far as honoring God, or a few verses, I want to say that, out of 1 Chronicles, if you would. 16th chapter, And I'm going to read you quite a few verses here for just a minute. And it says, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. For he also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindred of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. Come before him. Worship the Lord in beauty and holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Where is our honor? Where is our glory today as far as God is concerned? He tells us to let the earth glory. I still think about when Jesus came into Jerusalem and the people were praising him, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. And they said, tell your disciples to hold their peace. And he said, if they hold their peace, the rocks would cry out. Sometimes we're like rocks. We've got to kill that giant. We've got to praise him. We got to put him aside. It's what we got to do. I got two more giants to go, and I'll hurry along. Our third giant that we have is disobedience. Our fourth giant is disobedience. We as God's people today, it's going to be important for us today in this service, next Sunday, next Wednesday night, throughout the Bible, vacation Bible school, it's going to be important for us to be obedient unto God. I'm not talking about being obedient to me. I'm not talking about being obedient to the teachers in the vacation Bible school. I'm not talking about being obedient to them, to others that are here. It's good for us to obey one another and be respectful and do those things. But the fact of the matter, the one we need to be obedient to is God Almighty. There is a punishment that goes along with our disobedience. In the seventh chapter of the book of Joshua, they had went into Jericho and just overrun it by God's power. But God had given them one instruction: don't take of anything there. They came up against the next nation, Ai. And they went into them. They said, they're a small country. We can send 5,000 men in there and we can whoop them easy. One man had disobeyed God. I want you to listen to this. One man had disobeyed God in Jericho. He saw a piece of clothing and a wedge of silver, and he took it when God had said, don't do it. They went into Ai, and they got whooped badly. Joshua hid his face on the ground, and he started praying. Lord, what's the problem? Why have you brought us up here like this if we're going to be destroyed by these nations? What's the problem? God said, somebody disobeyed, and they took that piece that they weren't supposed to. And by lot, God showed them a man by the name, that he took that garment and took that silver. See, what we're seeing here today, by our disobedience, God can punish us. By our disobedience, sinners can die and go into a devil's hell. We don't think about it that way, do we? We don't think about if somebody dies and they're we've had the responsibility of telling them about the Lord, we don't think about it being our fault. But when that man disobeyed God, it cost men their lives. You know what else it cost him? His life when he was showed. It also caused the lives of his family. It cost them their lives. They were all stoned to death. You see, it's necessary for us to obey God, not man, but obey God. And I know it's not an easy thing to obey God in the right ways, but we need to obey Him in these coming weeks. If you want to see people saved, it's time to obey God. Now, when Joshua started going up, we're going back a few chapters to the fifth chapter. Before they had just crossed over the Jordan River, they'd seen that miraculous thing happen. But before they could go into battle against Jericho, they had to clean up some things. You know what? What's the custom that the Jews have that everybody talks about? The fact that they believe in circumcision. Every male child is supposed to be circumcised. You know that while the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness, they did not circumcise any of the male childs. You know what they had to do first? Joshua said, we've got to have every man, every soldier has got to be circumcised. They got over there, they had Jericho over here, they had Jordan on this side. Before they could take the land, they had to make things right. They had to make things right with that, with God. In other words, it took obedience for Joshua and the men of Israel to take Jericho. They circumcised every one of them. I don't know how long it took. They all had to heal up. But then they got up there and they walked around Jericho 6 days. And on that seventh day, they walked around seven times, just as the Lord said. And when they had finished their walk, they shouted and blew the trumpets and the walls fell down. If we want sinners to be saved, we want them walls fall down. We're going to have to obey God. That's a big giant that we've got to do. All right, we're down to the giant that had six toes on each finger, each foot. He had six fingers on each hand. Weird-looking rascal, ain't he? Let me ask you something. You answer this to yourself. What is your greatest problem today in life? I'm not asking you to tell me. Most of us would say we're very physical-minded, wouldn't we? I do. I have to say, since I've been down here at this church, I'm not bragging on myself. I want you to take this way. But I have gotten so much closer to the Lord in the last several months. And I hope the Lord keeps that. But there is still sin present. Everybody sins. Everybody's got the temptations that comes to them. You know what I'm talking about. It may be a small thing, it may be a big thing, but what I'm going to tell you to do today, and I'm going to try to hurry this along very quickly, going back to the book of Proverbs, and this time it's the seventh chapter. This one is actually talking about an adulterous woman and man. But this can go for any kind of temptation that you have, where it's covetousness, whether it's lust of some sort, whether it's some thievery or whatever it might be. It fit. The woman said unto him in the 15th verse, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry and carved works with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves, for the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at a day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattery and her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, he said, or as a fool to the correction of the stock, till a dart strike through his liver, and as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? That's a 6 foot, that's a 24 fingered and toed giant right there, is our physical sins. I'm not going to talk about these things too much, but I do have one verse to give you. Let me turn over 4th chapter of James once again. Excuse me. 4th chapter of James. And what I'm asking you to do to get rid of this giant in your life is this. And again, I apologize for being long. But he says, draw nigh to God. I know I told you that I think I've grown closer to the Lord over the last few months. I've drawn a lot closer to the Lord the last few months. And that's not bragging on me. I'm thankful for the opportunity. But he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. If you want to get rid of the sin in your life, you ever got out and got your hands real good and dirty? How many of you ever said to that hand, just be clean? It don't go away that easy, does it? That's why he said, cleanse your hands. You want to get rid of those sins that you have. If you want to have revival in this church over the next few months, I want you to understand we're going to have to get the sin out. We're going to have to be like Moses was when he went down to the camp and they were worshiping idols that were there. They were naked before God. They were doing all kinds of things that were evil and wrong in that day. And he told Joshua before they got down there, there's sin in the camp. If we've got sin in our camp, wash your hands. Start with yourself. Start cleaning yourself up. Start getting ready to serve the Lord in this day. If you want revival in this church to erupt into a great big thing, about a month ago, there was a great revival going on up in Macon County. It was great because people were getting saved. People were joining the church. Big numbers was going out. Big news, wasn't it? You want to be that church that everybody's talking about? You want to be that people that people are saying, boy, that church must be doing good. They're being blessed of God. They're seeing great things happen. They're seeing it all just happen in front of their eyes. You can't say to that hand, well, I want you to be clean. And it happened. We've got to get our hearts right. We got to get the sin out. We got to get rid of those giants. Now, your giants on some of them things may be smaller. Brother Brad, I'm about done. some of those giants for you, they may not be as tall as others. Your faith may be stronger than mine is. Your obedience level may be higher than mine is. And he might be a smaller giant for you than he is for me, or somebody else is maybe bigger than all of us. But you know, the best way to defeat an enemy is all jump on him. You ever have one of them big bullies? No, they mess with you all the time. They whooped you every chance they got. But if you could get four or five boys to help you out, you could whoop him every time. You know what? You're my buddies. And I need your help to get rid of that giant. There's five of them. There's more, really. But we got five giants to get rid of. Brother Brad, I'll hush. Let's sing. Let's stand and sing.
Trusting in His grace, His eyes.